It's a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we're talking about last night's Heat win over the Cavaliers and James Johnson's impressive defense against LeBron James.
We'll talk about Miami's chances in a series versus the Cleveland Cavaliers and answer your Twitter questions. Thank you for listening, for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer, and cover the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. I cover the league at large for Fansided and FanRag Sports, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomello13.
We're here recapping the Heat's 98-79 win over the Cavaliers, but David, I'd like to start with figuring out what kind of wine Dwayne Wade and LeBron James enjoyed last night after the game. Was it maybe a cold Sauvignon Blanc? Perhaps a bold Cabernet Way or a Cab Swat?
I'm thinking it might be a Malbec to Ohio, or perhaps a Pinot Get the Hell Out of Here.
Dwayne Wade was grabbing GIFs, highlights, videos,
ooh,
the Twitter sphere, with not one but two blocks on LeBron James and Miami's win. Look, I don't know if maybe if it was a little bit of the South Beach flu there. I don't know if LeBron was too concerned about rocking those new 15s instead of determining how to best attack Miami's defense. But Dwayne Wade was in full vintage Dwayne Wade form, both mostly on defense, somewhat on offense. And Miami got a huge win over a signature win, no doubt, even though the Cavaliers have been struggling, but handing Cleveland their first loss in the post Ty Lue substitution era. They were 4-0 with Larry Drew at the helm, and Miami hands them their first loss.
Can we dispel the myth of the South Beach flu? Like, I honestly don't think that that's a legitimate concern. I mean, I understand.
I
you do, really? Like, look, as a longtime South Florida resident, I mean, I understand there's plenty of stuff to do out there. But guess what? They're NBA players. They're going to find something to do anywhere. I mean, even in Oklahoma City, which has a really bad reputation.
I thought you were going to go the other way on that. I thought you were going to go, they're NBA players. These guys are professionals. They've got the whole summer to go to the Bahamas and banana boat. They don't have to do that in Miami. I think with somebody like LeBron, I think he understands at this point. I don't know if there's a whole lot of South Beach flu going on with him. He kind of famously doesn't go out. I mean, he drinks wine every night, admittedly, but he's not out. I think the South Beach flu was something certainly was something in like the early 2000s and going back before that. But I think this recent crew of NBA players is less likely to kind of do those things, especially a team,
right,
a veteran team like Cleveland and Miami, and obviously Miami is not going to partake in such activities. But look, whatever it was, something was in the water for the Heat. They were the antithesis of what Cleveland has been all year in that they worked harder. And this is a team that basically has gotten to where they are now, slotted into the playoffs and very likely to be in the playoffs. They've basically clinched. They only mathematically have not. But they've gotten this far by playing really hard. And it's not a secret. This is what the Heat do. You can hashtag Heat culture that as a reason for it. But they play really hard. And the knock against Cleveland this whole season has been, well, they don't play hard. And they rely on LeBron to bail them out, essentially, every game.
Yeah.
And LeBron just couldn't do it tonight, in large part because James Johnson was covering him like a blanket. I mean, maybe he did have the South Beach flu because James Johnson was his blanket.
You know what? I give plenty of credit to James. He looked like he was as earnest a defender as LeBron has ever faced. Like, he really made things difficult for him. He matched him as far as his foot speed. Every step by step, he was on him. But at the same time, I got to be honest with you. After 4 years of watching LeBron and a 15-year career now, this was not the most aggressive version of LeBron James. And I think he kind of was a little mild, a little passive. You know, he's had to carry the load on a number of occasions for this Cavaliers, if not on a nightly basis. And I just didn't see that version of him against the Heat.
Did you think he was distracted by being back in Miami? We talked about this on Locked On NBA. This is not a guy who has played every game back at American Airlines Arena, has typically tried to avoid that game. Do you think he was maybe distracted by meeting up with Dwayne Wade again?
You know, I can't imagine that he's that easily influenced at this point. Look, I mean, I know there's a lot of peripheral stuff going on. He admitted that you know, it was very easy for him to recollect all the good times and the big games and the fond memories he had during that 4-year stint when he was back at the arena on Tuesday night. But at the same time, I think he's capable of just kind of putting that in a neat, you know, compartmentalizing it and moving on with the game. I just didn't see him as being particularly aggressive, but I saw that when he was in Miami too. There were nights where he was just not going to be that aggressive, where he wanted to see whether or not Norris Cole or Mario Chalmers or somebody else could carry a bit of the load. And so tonight, I think it just falls on guys like Tristan Thompson or Jordan Clarkson to kind of do their share.
It kind of is a combination of both, right? You don't want to give all the credit to James Johnson because he's not this defender every game. He's a good defender on most every game. I'll say we could give him that, but he's not a LeBron James stopper every game. But he has credibly defended LeBron in the past.
Yes.
So this isn't new to us. This wasn't surprising. You and I think, figured that James Johnson was going to be on LeBron James from the start to the finish of that game when he was on the court at the same time. But LeBron, he's been in a zone this whole month. The points that he's putting up before this game against Miami: 37 against Brooklyn, 27 against Phoenix, 35 against Toronto, 40 against Milwaukee, 33, 35, 28, 24, 25, 39, 31, 25, 30. Those are all the points he's scored so far in March. 18, the first time he was held below 20 points for the month. It's the fewest points he's scored since February 23rd, when he scored 18 against the Grizzlies, and his lowest shooting percentage since a loss to the Rockets on February 3rd. I mean, this Heat defense, and James Johnson said after the game, he can't take all the credit, but I will give him most of the credit. But Miami's defense was also in check, especially on a night when they were without Hassan Whiteside and they were without Bam Adebayo as well, who sprained his ankle Sunday versus the Pacers. So Jordan Mickey started in his place. Josh Richardson did a nice job, and Justice Winslow did a nice job when they were occasionally switched onto LeBron. And then Dwayne Wade, of course, was kind of the rover on defense. He had those two blocks that we just talked about, but overall did a nice job on help defense, particularly under the rim, where LeBron was trying to get to because his jump shot wasn't falling. And just seemed like LeBron was frustrated early. Miami keyed in on him, executed the game plan, and we should note Kevin Love was knocked out early because his tooth was knocked out, and he wasn't an option for them offense.
Yeah.
Knocked back.
Jordan Mickey on a surprising drive to the hoop brings a left elbow, he swings it towards the right side of his body and makes contact with Kevin Love's face. Love was knocked to the ground, and we weren't quite sure. We didn't see the camera angle until they replayed it later on in the game. But clearly you can see a tooth dislodged, and Dave McNenamin from ESPN reporting that Kevin Love actually showing concussion-like symptoms, and that's why he was held out for the second half. Rodney Hood was inserted in his place there. So, that's certainly – did hurt Cleveland's chances. You know, there's no secret on what makes Cleveland work as well as they do is surrounding shooters with a guy like LeBron James, who can do so much. He's so versatile. He can drive to the rim and find those guys in the perimeter. But with a guy like James Johnson guarding him, it was a lot like what we've seen from Johnson when he guards a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, he stays with him, makes things difficult for him, fully engaged defensively, and then LeBron doesn't have that same option of being able to find guys in the perimeter, because that's what Miami's defense does so well, is limiting the three-point shot and running guys off the line, et cetera. So, you know, I think it really, really worked so effectively. Miami just seemed to have a very good strategy for dealing with LeBron and with the Cavaliers, and it worked particularly well. I mean, that's not to say that it'll always work this way. We've seen LeBron get the upper hand on James in the past, but Johnson was fully realized, really engaged, and did a phenomenal job. So, I think it was a little bit of both. Like I said, maybe LeBron was a little passive, but at the same time, Johnson did do a really good job matching every step with LeBron.
You mentioned their three-point shooting. Cleveland only made 4 of their 26 three-pointers in the game, 15.4% for the game. And there's a team that likes to and kind of has to get points in transition, only 3 fast-break points for Cleveland as well. So Miami, again, executing the game plan well. Not only was that a signature win for the Heat, but an important win as far as the playoff picture is concerned. If Milwaukee wins versus the Clippers tonight, we're recording this Tuesday night, the Clippers right or the Milwaukee's right now in the middle of that game. That was the TNT game after Miami's game against Cleveland. If the Bucks win, they'll remain in seventh, and if they lose, the Heat will move up to seventh. It's still pretty close there, though. Obviously, that's the matchup to watch. Up next, we'll answer your Twitter questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. But first, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On NBA. It's the only daily NBA podcast that's less than 30 minutes long that delivers the most important news, scores, and storylines of the day. Perfect to listen to on your morning commute, while you're at the gym, or during your lunch break.
And while everybody should listen to every episode, make sure you listen on Tuesdays when Wes and I will be hosting for the rest of the season. To make sure you get the latest episode every day, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app.
We'll get to our spotlight performances after this, but let's go to Twitter and answer some of your questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. But David, actually, before we get to that, I've got a question for you.
All right.
This is from my Twitter to your Twitter.
Okay.
did this game change your opinion about if the Heat can compete with the Cavs in a playoff series?
You know, there's no denying. Look, the Cavaliers haven't won in Miami since 2010, even before LeBron joined the Heat. But he certainly hasn't changed things. So you have to give the advantage to Miami at home against the Cavaliers. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know if this is the same version of LeBron that we would face in the playoffs. I still don't like Miami's chances against Cleveland. Like, it was a really, really strong showing. And I hate to be the bucket of water dousing everybody's fire on a night like tonight. But at the same time, I'm not ready to dismiss LeBron James when he's playing at his best, which we've seen too many times in the past when he's in the playoffs.
I don't think anybody would bet against LeBron in a first or even a second round series against the Heat. And in this game, he did look disengaged, not necessarily on offense, although I think he did settle for shots. I think that was more of him getting frustrated and flustered by Miami's defense. And we know he's had a tendency to do that. If there's a weakness in LeBron, that's it. But defensively, as he has all season, just not been interested. There's a number of times where he just refused to come out on shooters, guys like Josh Richardson or Tyler Johnson that he'd get switched on to. And then under the rim, he'd get pinned under the rim and just not really jump, or not really put his hands up or help necessarily. And so if there is, you know, when playoff LeBron is engaged, you don't want to bet against him. So I agree with you on that front. But as far as whether the Heat can push Cleveland, I think it would be a tight series. I really do. Dwayne Wade's also going to step up his game in the playoffs because that's what he does, though he will still probably be inconsistent just considering his age and where he's at in his career. You know, but if it goes to a game seven, Kelly Olynyk, we know what he can do in game sevens. So
let me ask this then. You know, obviously tonight without Hassan Whiteside, does he make the difference? Does he change things in Miami's favor? Can they play at the same pace they did tonight with Mickey, knowing that Whiteside would be in the lineup? And would that be as effective with Whiteside there against the Cavaliers?
I think they wouldn't play with that same pace, obviously, but I think it would help just considering if LeBron is engaged and just trying to get to the rim every play, which he tends to do in the postseason at a really high level, having Whiteside there is definitely going to help that. But then you would take Whiteside out, and I still think you could play this way with somebody like Olynyk or Bam Adebayo at center as well. So you could, if Spoelstra feels like he needs to quicken the pace and sort of engage that sort of game, he could do that by throwing Bam in there at center, or Kelly Olynyk, of course.
Sure.
But it changes my opinion, not to the point where the Heat are going to I would bet on the Heat to win that series, but it does change it from, I think it would have been maybe a gentlemanly sweep to, this could go six games.
That's
worth.
I'm reading between the lines. I'm hearing you think that Miami would sweep the Cavaliers if they met in the playoffs.
This is not a show of hot takes. sometimes it is.
Because LeBron doesn't have the clutch gene. Let's hear it. Skip Goldberg over here. Come on.
All right, let's move on to an actual Twitter question that actually exists. Trey writes in, what do you think the chances are of the Heat getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? On a scale of 0 to 10, he's forcing us into a corner here. We have to have a hot take now.
So I have to come up with a number, right? I guess if I...
Yeah,
if
it's got to be 0 to 10, too. These are the rules.
If I've got to come up
Not
with...
Not just any number.
I'm going to go with 2.
Dos minutos.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I think two is a realistic one. I mean, look, we're assuming that Boston's going to be a cakewalk because Kyrie Irving may not be there. But the reality is they represent the best option against Miami because, you know, they are banged up and they are missing some key players. But they still got some depth there. They still have plenty of players that can make things difficult. Their defense is still at a high level, even, you know, maybe perhaps better because Kyrie Irving is in the lineup. So it's not like Miami's going to just be able to go in there, score 110 points and walk out with a sweep or anything like that. I think, I mean, if they face Boston, they could go seven games maybe, and then who knows what might happen in the seventh deciding game. You could get the Olynyk game. You could get somebody else going off and changing things one way or the other. So let's assume they get past Boston somehow miraculously. Can they get past Cleveland? Like we just said, I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that LeBron at that point, if they've got past their first round opponent, whoever that would be, either, you know, Indiana or Washington, whomever they face at this point, I think they're going to be cohesive enough and strong enough to dispatch with a Miami Heat team. So I just don't like their chances having to get past Boston, having to get past Cleveland, just to be able to face Toronto in the finals.
Right. Even if they get past Boston, they're likely going to have, according to Basketball References, probabilities and playoff predictions, either the Cavaliers or the 76ers in the second round. And look, Hassan Whiteside has played Joel Embiid hard this season. You know, they've got guys like Winslow who have defended Ben Simmons well this season. And the Heat are an experienced team and the Sixers are not. If the Sixers end up getting the third seed, and right now Basketball Reference has them getting the third seed, though I still think the Cavs end up with it by the end of the season for the playoffs. But if the Heat take out Boston, an injured Boston team, I have no doubt that they could beat the Sixers in a second round. Again, just because the deeper you get into the playoffs, the more experience tends to be a factor.
Yeah.
And that could certainly be a factor there. I'm not willing to go a 9 or a 10, but I'd go a little bit higher than you. And I'd go with Dwayne Wade's number. I'm going to go with 3.
Nicely done.
So not much higher than you. I'm going to stay at 3. It just doesn't seem likely, but who knows? It's possible.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our final Twitter question. This comes from Kevin Heat NBA. He asks, is this beatdown of the Cavs the best win for hashtag Team Petty so far?
Look, I mean, I understand people are still holding a grudge against LeBron, even though we're at the same time trying to woo him back to Miami next year. I mean, there's a lot going on there. It's a complicated relationship, that's for sure. It's like
it's a tight wire.
It's like that Facebook status. It's complicated. We never know how to feel about LeBron. We hate him. We love him. You know, we want him back. We want him gone. Who knows? At the same time, I think the win – Christmas Day 2014, right after he left with Chris Bosh hurt. I looked up the stats now on that game because that was the one that resonated the most for me. LeBron had 30 points. This was the active and engaged LeBron. He had a really, really good game, led Cleveland. But guess what? Dwayne Wade led all scorers with 31 points. Luol Deng, big showing from him, 25 points, kind of pissed off at having to live in LeBron's shadow yet again. And he had 25 points in that game. And again, without Chris Bosh, that was the one where Udonis said there will be blood, you know. I think to me that game was just the best one. The one where the feelings were still particularly raw and everybody was really hurt about what had happened over the summer with LeBron. And for him to come back into Miami, he faced some boos, if I recall correctly. Although I think Miami fans in general were pretty happy about LeBron and they cheered for him and they gave him a fairly warm welcome overall. There was a smattering of boos, I think, if I'm recalling correctly.
That's right. Yes.
So to me, that game, this was a great game. It was really fun to watch. They really did a number on LeBron. There's two blocks from Wade at this point. Were sensational after you having spent that.
Those I would say were the best moments for Team Petty, right? Those blocks might have been the best plays, like individual in the game plays. But look, I agree with you. The LeBron on beating LeBron on Christmas is 100% the moment for Team Petty. But this is second, and it's different because that was kind of LeBron's. I'm coming home victory tour and to sort of take the wind out of his sails on Christmas or something. But this game is a little bit less than, only because Cleveland is, yes, they were riding a four-game win streak, or however many wins that they had won in a row, four games since Ty Lue was sidelined, kind of coalescing there, getting Kevin Love back, blah, blah. LeBron's playing out of his mind. I get it. But still, it's a fractured team. It's not the team that Cleveland – this is probably the worst Cavaliers team. So I would say that this is – it's not quite the achievement. Still certainly a great moment and a fun night. But I'm with you, the Christmas Day game.
Okay. I've got another Twitter question from me to you here.
Okay.
What the hell did Kevin Love say to Dwayne Wade after he got knocked down by Jordan Mickey? Does anybody know this? Was it reported, or was there any indication of what he said? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Like, he walked over after he got back up with blood in his mouth, and he leaned in. Wade had his head down, sitting on the sideline there, and he leans in and he whispers something. Like, it was very weird, kind of Sopranos-like or something like that. I have no idea what that was
going
on.
He said, "You ruined my Banana Republic deal." What did LeBron say to Tyler Johnson after he knocked out Tyler Johnson? He ran through Tyler's chest. And then Tyler Johnson just tried to hold back a laugh. That's the one I want to know. I want to know what he said.
Look,
there.
I got to be honest. I think that was a little bit of a flop by Tyler. I mean, look, I know LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely, it was a flop. Okay. I mean, I think it wasn't a flop. He legitimately got knocked down by LeBron James, who's three times his size, but he sold it. He sold it for sure.
He was down on the ground like he had been sniped there. I have no idea. He was face down, collapsed, his limbs weren't responsive. I've seen grotesque injuries on a football field where, something significant happens, like a back or spinal injury. This was just he got a little elbow in the neck. Again,
sure, it was painful. And then he was coming up and the speaker and the mics caught him saying, "They're not even going to review it. They're not even going to look at it." So that's what he was trying to sell there. All right, we got to move on to our spotlight players next. But first, did you know that you could stream this podcast, Locked on Heat, on Spotify right now? It's easy. Open Spotify on your device or on your desktop and click Browse and then click on the podcast section, or just search for Locked on Heat. You can also stream the show on your smart speaker, such as the Amazon Echo or Google Home. Now it's that much easier to stay up to date on the latest episodes of Locked on Heat, the only daily Miami Heat podcast. Spotlight player time, David. Who you got?
I got Josh Richardson. Not his best game, but following what I had said on Monday night after the overtime loss there, I was wondering whether or not, or that was rather Sunday night, but either way, I was wondering whether or not Josh might be going through fatigue mentally, physically, something like that. He's playing the most minutes of his career, playing more games than he ever has. And I wasn't really sure whether or not he'd be able to bounce back or whether or not we would see a more efficient, effective version of Richardson throughout the last few games of the regular season. But he bounced back in really, really effective form. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block, all within 30 minutes of play. Look, he was 6 of 13 from the line. It's just 1 of 5 from 3-point range. But at the same time, I think he was, as you mentioned before, really good defensively, had a number of really nice plays, switched on to LeBron a couple times, did everything he could to limit Cavaliers players. And I think he was just part of that really effective defense where LeBron was limited on one end and he was able to attack those perimeter shooters and keep them from getting those easy open shots. And it was just a really, really good game from Josh. So I'm glad to see him bounce back after a really bad showing the other night.
Yeah, he was 1 of 5, as you mentioned, from 3-point range. And that was a little disconcerting for me in that game. He actually missed a 3-pointer from the corner at one point. And he had already made one. So he already made the only 3-pointer he made in the game. And he missed that shot. And I was just like, boy, this guy, he's missed 2 or 3 3-pointers in a row. Let me look at the box score and see how many he's missed, because I was going to tweet something about it. And I looked down on my laptop to look it up. And then all of a sudden I hear basically the crunch of a dunk and Josh Richardson flexing. And I was like, what the hell happened? And he had shot a corner three and then knew that it missed almost, I guess, immediately. I saw the highlight afterwards, ran to the rim and was able to get the putback dunk there and follow up his miss. Yeah. And I was like, that was the microcosm of the game for the Heat, whether or not they were making or missing shots. And they made a whole bunch of shots tonight. Even if they were missing them, they were still outworking the Cavaliers. And so for Richardson to basically, you've mentioned this a lot, how Richardson might miss a three-pointer or an open look and kind of get frustrated with himself. Instead of doing that, he went right back for it, followed his miss, and turned a negative play into a positive play. I really liked his performance tonight. It was resilient, would be the word I would use to describe it. My spotlight player was Kelly Olynyk. He had 19 points on 7-of-9 shooting. He made 3 of the 4 three-pointers he took in the game, added 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, all in 25 minutes. And I wanted to spotlight him because Olynyk scored the first 7 points for the Heat to start the second quarter. He roasted Kevin Love on a move to the basket and then roasted him for a three-pointer and then had a fake dribble, the patented Olynyk fake dribble handoff to get his his 7th points, the 6th and 7th points there, and helped expand Miami's lead from 11 all the way to 18. And then that was sort of the moment you could kind of feel it, see it in the game. That was sort of the moment where Miami started to run away with this thing. And because, again, they never trailed by fewer than 11 points in the second half, which is basically what Olynyk expanded the lead from, again, 11 to 18 to start the second quarter. The Heat just never looked back after that.
Yeah. There were a number of plays like that. Not to take anything from Kelly's game, but I felt like there was a number of times where even if Cleveland started inching closer, there was always a big shot. I remember one time in particular where I think on 2 straight possessions, Miami missed a total of 4 three-point attempts. It was like Ellington took one, then Johnson took one, Goron missed one. Then they got the rebound again and again and again, and they kept taking these shots on these multiple possessions. And then Goron hits a big three-pointer just as I think the lead had been cut down to 11, just to push it back up to 14. And that kind of gives you the comfort of knowing, all right, they're still within striking range, but not as close as they once were. And I think, you know, Kelly's game was all about that, just really maximizing those opportunities. And that fake dribble handoff was such a nice move. I mean, he didn't even like move his arms in it. He just perfectly timed it. Everybody assumed that he was going to be dishing it straight to Ellington as he was curling away from the corner there. Instead, he just drove it past. I want to say Clarkson, who might have been on it. It might have been Larry Nance. I'm not sure. But either way, very, very impressive. And
look, hit him with the hezzy.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really nice move. He's done it so many times throughout the season. There's not enough you can say about it. So,
a signature win again for the Heat, beating the Cavaliers 98-79. That's all we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions or comments to our recaps just like this using the hashtag AskLOHeat and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.